The views and opinions expressed on this show are those of the sponsor, Florida Department of Health, Escambia County.
We'll ever have music that happy ever again, you know? It's like all the music today is really angry. I don't know what's going on. It's News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. It's the Pensacola Expert Panel. Thank you so much for joining me. I am your happy host, Jake Walker. Glad to be here this morning with Dr. Vanessa Phillips from the Florida Department of Health in Escambia County. Go to escambiahealth.com for more information. We're going to be talking about a lot of good stuff here on the show. One thing that we've talked about when I've had you in the studio before is the chronic disease self-management program. And that to me is just so crucial right now because, you know, information is so powerful when, especially when you're dealing with a chronic disease. So we'll talk about that. If you have questions or comments, let us know. 437-1620. You can text or call and we'll get any answers for your questions right here on the air with Dr. Vanessa Phillips. Thank you, doctor. How are you doing this morning?
I am doing well. How about yourself?
Oh, I'm doing very well. Thank you. Thank you for being here. It's a beautiful morning out there. Actually, now that I look back, it's actually starting to get cloudy again. What's going on?
I was just looking over there out of your window, and I'm like, well, it was pretty nice and sunshiny when I came in. Now it's getting a little cloud cover there.
The radio station just sits under a dark cloud all day long every day. It's because I'm here. It'll leave. It'll be great when I leave. All right. So escambiahealth.com. Check that website out. And if you have any questions or comments on what we're talking about today, let us know. 437-1620. So, what do you want to start with this morning? I'll let you handle this.
So it's always a pleasure to come and highlight some of the things that we have going on at FDOH Escambia, mm-hmm. is what we call ourselves for short anyway. But it is Minority Health Month. Mm. April is National Minority Health Month, and that is a national observance that helps to build awareness about the health disparities that persist amongst racial and ethnic minorities and American Indian and Alaskan Native populations. So we're encouraging everyone to take action to end inequities. Mm. So we're really talking about this year's theme, which is be the source for better health. And we do our best to improve the health outcomes through our culture, our communities, and our connections. And FDOH Escambia is very, very good about penetrating the community and utilizing our partnerships to do our best to spread that health message.
Hmm. What are the major barriers here? What is causing this disparity? Is it economic? Is it social? What is it a mixture of everything?
It's definitely a mixture of everything, mm-hmm. and that's across the board. It's not just here. So that's awesome that it is a national observance so that every community, every city can really take a look at the things that are causing inequities or barriers there. And so here, what we really try to do is remove any barrier that we see. Sometimes that's transportation. So for us, a lot of times we have later classes, things like that, that are mm-hmm. available, and we are right next to ECAT. So that's our bus system. And clients who don't have transportation that utilize the bus system can come right next door, attend one of our classes, either a midday or a 5 o'clock class or a 4 o'clock class, to do something to change their health. And I know that we've talked about it before, but small steps make a big change.
Right, right. Somebody just texted in, this is kind of off topic a little bit, but the Florida legislature has apparently given local governments the authority to ban cigarette smoking on beaches. Have you heard anything about this? Is this controversial? What can we do here? Is this going to happen in Escambia?
Well, we have not yet done anything about it. Mm-hmm. We haven't gotten our specific guidance just yet. But as you know, I've worked on tobacco prevention for a very long time with Tobacco Free Florida. Mm-hmm. And that's one of our programs that we still have and we still work hard for every single day. Mm-hmm. So we try to remain abreast of what's going on, what the legislative changes are and what we can do. And a lot of times we need the community support. We really need our community members to come together, make their voices heard, and also do what they can to ensure that we have those safe and healthy beaches, to mm-hmm. make sure that that persons under 21 years of age are not smoking or acquiring vaping products, things like that. Right. So it's very timely. Mm-hmm. For sure.
And just the cigarette butts in the sand, it'll be a much better environment if we can limit that a little bit.
Absolutely. Yeah. Years ago, we used to bring out our students. We have a group, Students Working Against Tobacco, and the students would do beach cleanups. And we would, after 2 or 3 hours, come away with bags upon bags of cigarette butts.
Gross.
And you never think about how many there are until you start picking them up. Mm-hmm. And when you think about our sugar white sands, we don't want those things littered with those cigarette butts.
Right, right. Well, thank you so much for addressing that. I didn't know, I know this is new legislation, so I didn't know if we had any information on that. So thank you for addressing that. My guest this morning, Dr. Vanessa Phillips from the Florida Department of Health of Escambia County. Definitely let us know if you have any questions or comments, 437-1620. Talking about National Minority Health Month. Yeah, so transportation is definitely big. But like you said, if people have late classes, in school, or if they're working, or if they're working and going to school, sometimes our personal health takes a back burner. So, and talking about the smoking, you've talked about the many different quitting programs that we have. Can we go over those real quick?
Absolutely. Yeah. I was just going to go back into that, because that's one of our programs that we've worked hard for over the years to make sure that is accessible. Mm-hmm. And there is a free class that happens every Thursday at the Florida Department of Health at 4 o'clock, actually. 4 o'clock, we partner with the West Florida Area Health Education Council. And they provide patches and lozenges and courses, actually. You go through a 6-week cohort once per week, and you learn the quit tips. You learn to delay, do something else, to deep breathe, and to really retrain yourself, finding new ways to do things, new routines to do things, so that you can actually be successful in your quit journey. And so we want to make sure that those things are accessible to all of our people around the county, and not just the county, but in Florida. So we do have tobacco-free Florida options available, and those options include being able to text. So you can text to quit. If you're a person that doesn't want to attend class, can't, your schedule doesn't work, you can text. Mm. You can go on the website. You can also call. And the number is 1-877, the letter U, can now. Again, 1-877, the letters U, can now.
Yes.
That will connect you with a quit counselor, and they can even send patches and lozenges straight to your home. And the lozenges are, based upon what's available.
Mm. I have a recovery group at my church, and I was talking to one of our members there the other day, and he's quit smoking over his lifetime, and he used to smoke a lot. And he said, the craving for a cigarette only lasts about 3 to 5 minutes. And if you can make it through that 5 minutes, you're good to go. And then you do that over and over and over again. And then eventually you're up to months and years without smoking. So
that's perfect advice. I mean, it mm-hmm. peaks at 3 minutes, and you never mm-hmm. think about it until you learn it. And so when you're in a part of those classes, you do tend to learn those quick tips.
Right.
If you delay for 5 minutes, I promise you that craving is gone.
Mm-hmm. And like you said, it just starts with those small steps.
Mm-hmm.
It makes a big difference. Getting back to National Minority Health Month, this is just really sad that we still have these stories of inequity, in our society. And we have the resources, and there's people like you out there doing that great work. But we just all need to get involved. We all need to be aware. And we all need to support these programs and help our fellow citizens dealing with this. What are some of the other aspects of National Minority Health Month that we're going to learn in April?
So we really start off by talking about, the provision of quality, equitable, and respectful care and services. And by respectful, we're talking about dealing with the diverse culture of health beliefs, practices, preferred languages, economic and environmental circumstances, health literacy. Those things matter. We make sure that we put out things that are in a manner that are clear, understandable, and small bite-sized messages. And we make sure that things are available for those who may have a different type of disability or anything like that. You can have health in any way.
Mm.
Anyway.
Yeah.
There are no limitations.
Earlier you said health beliefs can sometimes be a barrier. Can you talk about that a little bit? How do health beliefs vary from parts of our society to others?
So it just depends. Sometimes they're cultural. Sometimes certain cultures don't believe in maybe a vaccine, so to speak. And so us making sure that we are respectful in that, but also sharing the education that's there for the things that we can do to better our health in the long run.
Right. Yes.
And that may include exercising at specific times of day. So we don't talk about necessarily exercising at a specific time of day, but maybe breaking down that exercise into to 3 10-minute increments whenever it works for you.
I like that.
You know?
Yeah, I like that. Another just little way you can kind of just, you know, get over that little hump, you know, and if you know going into a craving that you only have about 5 minutes to wait, you know, usually if people don't have this information, if they haven't attended one of these classes, if they don't know these tips and tools, you know, then these barriers can really keep them from addressing that because they think, oh, this is going to last forever. I have to smoke. I have to do this. I have to eat this, you know, things like that.
A
so
a lot of times our barriers are mental barriers and it's just because we think it is a way or we've seen it be done a specific way and we haven't heard an alternative. And so we're here again, providing that source to better health. And sometimes that is simply putting out the alternative, simply putting out the tidbit of information where I can exercise in 10 minute increments versus I need 45 minutes to an hour once a day.
Talking about the beliefs and the way people are raised sometimes and that tweaks how they look at their health. My parents, when I was growing up, they would have to be on death's door to go to a doctor. That's just the way we were when we were raised. And I'm that same way. I should get my checkups. But, you know, that part of me, just from my parents, I'm thinking, I'm not going to go. I'm good. But, you know, just go get your checkups. Go every 6 months. If there's nothing wrong, then that's great. You know, no news is good news. But go and get your blood work done. Check up on this.
Absolutely. And I think we talked about the last time I was here, self-care and healthcare being a part of your self-care. So, you know, if you grow up, again, in an environment where we wait to go to the doctor, right? You're going to continue those things a lot of times into adulthood until you learn something different. Mm. And sometimes our health is absolutely affected by our environment. Mm. That includes the home that we grow up in, the neighborhood that we are a part of, and even the friend group that we are a part of. So if you are with some of your friends right now, maybe you all should challenge one another to do something healthier. Are you still hanging off of your caffeine? You know, that kind of thing?
Yeah, I've cut down a lot. The last time you saw me, I think I was struggling a little bit.
Yeah.
I was struggling a little bit with the caffeine.
And we can challenge each other to drink more water, to walk around and get our steps. If you have an Apple Watch, I mean, you know, join your friend group and challenge each other to close your rings every day. Mm. It's those small things.
Yeah.
Again, they add up to big changes.
Yes, they do. Accountability is key, definitely. We're talking with Dr. Vanessa Phillips from the Florida Department of Health in Escambia County. Go to escambiahealth.com for more information. 1-877-YOU-CAN-NOW if you're interested in tips and tricks and ways that you can quit smoking and address your self-care and your health care this year in 2024. It's the year of transformation, so let's transform our health. Chronic disease self-management. I would think that this gets, unless you wanted to cover more on National Minority Health Month. I didn't want to skip ahead.
Oh, no. Let's go ahead and talk about chronic disease self-management because it all ties in.
Mm-hmm.
And for us, during the month of April, we're really honing in on all of the things that we have available.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, we're talking about springing into action. We're talking about better health and better resources. And so our chronic disease self-management program, we've mentioned it before, but I can't mention it enough.
Mm.
It is a way to learn the skills to manage chronic disease conditions such as heart disease, arthritis, diabetes, high blood pressure, you name it. If it is a chronic disease, we can assist. If you come to the classes, you're going to discuss things like pain management, healthy eating, physical activity, problem solving, even medication usage. So many people don't know how to use their medicines properly. They don't understand, or they feel as though maybe they were a little rushed in their appointment and they didn't ask the questions.
Right.
So we can help with that. Our next class is actually May the 14th, and it will run for 6 weeks. through Tuesday, June 18th, and the cost is free. Free.
Love it. Love free. There's no better price.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
Yeah. Chronic disease, I always think of diabetes because it just seems like diabetes is more of an issue nowadays. And is that just basically how we're eating, the amount of sugar in the American diet?
That is definitely a contributing factor. If you think about it, there were some studies that have come out over the years that talked about America being the most obese nation, right? Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's the things like the fast food that we choose, or the processed foods and things like that we're consuming. But when we start attending these courses and we learn those small things, we can really catch diabetes before it ever starts. Mm. And then if you are in the pre-diabetes phase, we can definitely help there. We have a diabetes prevention program. And again, and we talk about resetting. We talk about the small steps, the big change. It's a lifestyle change program. Because if you really change eating habits, if you change exercise habits, if you change how much sugar you consume in your beverage, it can really make the difference in diabetes prevention.
Yes, because those liquid calories seem to be really sneaky. You know, I can drink an energy drink or something and not realize that I just had three times my daily amount of sugar in that can. So it sneaks up on you, definitely. And I just feel like, do you remember low-fat diets?
Yes.
When I was growing up, that's all I heard, low-fat, low-fat, low-fat. You're eating too much fat. But that's not it at all. It's the sugar and the preservatives, and that's what really puts the weight on you. And now I hear people, oh, well, you need to up the fats in your diet. You need healthy fats. And I'm like, well, I thought fat was bad. But it's not. It's the sugar and the preservatives, really. So we got to watch out for that.
It's so confusing, right? Mm-hmm. And if you look at the product label, you really, really want to look at not the advertisement of it, not the enticing low-fat, pick-me kind of situation. You really want to turn it around, look at that nutrition label, see what's there, see how much protein is there, see how much sugar is there, how many processed carbs, things like that.
Right.
And in these classes, we really teach people how to read food labels. That can be life-changing. And if you are still struggling with how to read a food label, I suggest downloading things like MyFitnessPal, sharing those things with your friends, looking in there and logging every single thing that you consume. If you munch it, punch it.
Right. Here come the phrases. I love your phrases.
If you bite it, write it.
Yes.
You know?
Yep.
If you are being held accountable, holding yourself accountable for what you consume every day is going to make the difference. You really will start seeing how many carbs you consume, how much sugar is in a specific thing. If it's your favorite Starbucks drink, I love Starbucks.
Man, I do too.
But man, I had to think about that menu and what I could substitute that I really, really liked. Mm-hmm. So instead of whole milk, I may have almond milk. Instead of choosing sugared versions, I can choose sugar-free or things like that. And you can really look at the caloric content of the food you consume as well.
Are the artificial sweeteners and the substitutes, are there any health risks involved with them that we know of, or is it just all hype?
As of late, I have not personally seen too much of anything. I know, you know, again, you've got the natural sweeteners, stevia and agave
monk fruit
and things like that. Mm-hmm. I personally would choose the more natural of those things.
Yes.
You know, eat whole foods.
Mm.
Cook your foods as much as possible. Choose the natural way as much as possible. But if you can't, just make a smarter choice. Pay attention to what's there. Go ahead and write down those things that you're consuming and track those foods.
Mm. I started back before I did my intermittent fasting. I just started cutting down on the amount of food. You know, if I normally do two scoops of something on my plate when I'm going to the table, I'll just do one. And then eventually over time you adjust to that. And then all of a sudden you're thinking, well, how did I ever eat that much food before?
Yeah.
And that, like you said, just little steps like that.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to touch on, before we run out of time, we've been talking about National Minority Health Month with Dr. Vanessa Phillips from the Florida Department of Health in Escambia County. Vaping is an epidemic right now. I see it on the news every single morning when we're doing show prep. It just seems like that's always in the topics. It's not safe. It's not safer than cigarettes. This has been a wide misconception, and now we're starting to see the lung problems again with our youth, because whether you want to believe it or not, kids under the age of probably even 10 years old now are getting access to vapes at school, and this is really dangerous. So what is the Florida Department of Health doing to combat the vape epidemic?
We are always, always, always educating. We are educating parents. We are educating educators. We are educating the students and empowering them to make the decision, because they are targeted at every turn with these things. And then they see their friends, and they are very accessible. So we're asking parents as well to have the conversation with your children. Have the conversation with them. Let them know the expectation is for them not to use these products. A lot of times they're looked at as harmless. They are not harmless.
Right.
There is nothing out there that has said that these things are a safe replacement for cigarette smoking.
Right.
In fact, it can be quite the opposite. And you can use more nicotine than you would in one cigarette.
Right.
And sometimes the students don't even realize that nicotine is in these vape apparatus.
Mm.
And these different apparatus can be used for things other than consumption of nicotine.
Right.
Parents should absolutely have the conversation.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I hate to be a narc, but you might want to keep some mouth swab tests around the house just to make sure. Because, you know, it can be a slippery slope once they start getting introduced to certain chemicals and things. And it really changes your brain chemistry.
It does.
And I know from years of being around it, the paranoia of some of these products, it really changes the way you interact with your friends and family. And that's dangerous stuff. And it's something that until you're much older, and even when you are much older, it's still something you may not understand. I love the fact that you mentioned that some people with their medications that they're prescribed may be a little fuzzy on what they should do, what foods or beverages maybe they should or should not drink with that. That's important, too. Mm-hmm. I remember when I got on my statin medication, he was like, don't drink grapefruit juice. Mm-hmm. I'm like, well, I never really did before, but now I'm paying attention to what has grapefruit juice in it. Just little things like that. But like you said, sometimes people don't ask the questions. I'm so bad about that. Like, ask your provider all the questions you can possibly. They're there for you. It's your time. You're on the table. Ask them, right?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I do say for those who have an anxiety, because that's a real thing. Mm. Some people go into the doctor and their blood pressure goes up automatically because they're anxious about the doctor coming in.
Right.
Or they feel like the doctor knows more, so I'm not going to ask the question. But absolutely, you said it. They're there for you.
Mm-hmm.
So I really suggest that people take a notebook. Write your things down before you ever get there. All of your, if you have an ailment, if you have a question, if you want better health, if you would like more tips, write it down. Write down your question. Ask that doctor when you're in there. Having that piece of paper in your hand is empowering.
Thank you, Dr. Vanessa Phillips, for being here this morning. She's from the Florida Department of Health in Escambia County. Go to escambiahealth.com. Call 1-877-U, the letter U, can now, for more information and tips. It's National Minority Health Month. Go online. Find out ways that you can support these programs. Thank you, Doctor, for being here today.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3. WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.